This is your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN. The wake-up call is brought to you by Tiger Fuel, homegrown since 1982. You can visit Charlottesville's only locally owned and operated chain of convenience stores today. They operate on Main Street, not Wall Street. The wake-up call is also brought to you by The Hook, an innovative weekly from the people who really know the news, on Newsstand Thursday. Now your host, Rick Moore.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you so much for tuning in to WNRN and the Wake Up Call. We appreciate you listening every Sunday. Thanks to those at Lexington 95.3, and a thanks to Blue Ridge Mountain Sports for their support, celebrating 40 years as your local one-stop source for outdoor gear, apparel, and footwear. You can find fall warmth at Blue Ridge with jackets and vests and sweaters from the North Face, Patagonia, and Mountain Hardware. Blue Ridge Mountain Sports is at Barracks Road here in Charlottesville. They have two locations in Richmond. For more information, it's brms.com. And again, thanks for tuning in today. It's always special and to have you listening to WNRN. Today, our topic is going to be sort of a mixed thing. We're going to be talking with Denise Zito and Janie Eck from Impact. Good morning, ladies.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you for being here. Special thanks to Denise. One of the things that I do during every fund drive is if you pledge a certain amount, then I will help you put a topic discussion together that I feel is important and worthy to our community. Denise made that pledge. So Impact, Interfaith Movement Promoting Actions by Congregations Together. We'll be talking about what Impact does, but we're also going to be talking about a couple of specific campaigns that Interfaith has put together. Recently, homelessness, the last couple about, young adult unemployment. I wanted to phrase that properly, as well as a mental health initiative. And we're going to tie a little religion and politics together, because I think as you talk about it, as you read about it, as you study it, it's hard not to do that with this. And then, of course, we have Tuesday's presidential election upcoming. For those who are wondering, why isn't he talking about politics? The election is just on Tuesday. Well, to tell you the truth, I was tired of it. I am tired of the what might happen, this is why it might happen, this is all about predicting what will happen. Next Sunday, we'll be talking about what did happen and where that will and could lead us with Professor Sid Milkus from UVA's political department. So that's why. But believe me, we'll be getting into enough politics and mixing religion in with it with these special and important campaigns during this hour. Write the number down, 979-0919. 877-WNRN-ROCKS. That's the toll-free number. All right, back with our guests today, Janie Eck, Denise Zito from Impact. Again, that's Interfaith Movement Promoting Actions by Congregations Together. So, Denise, you're bringing congregations together. A little more education on that topic, please.
Well, in 2007... A few clergy people in Charlottesville got together, and they were looking around and saying, you know, we put a lot of money into this community in service work and mercy missions, the food bank and the food soup kitchens and housing and direct assistance to people. But there are some fundamental injustices in Charlottesville, and we really need to work on that. And that's how Impact was born, with five or six pastors putting this together. And by the time they got through the first year, I think they had about 20 congregations, and we flux and flow with numbers, but we have 26 members right now.
And if I remember properly from my homework, it's not just Christians. There are Muslims. There's at least one Muslim.
Yes.
Congregation,
Society.
Is that
mm-hmm.
correct?
Yeah, the Islamic Society of Central Virginia is part of us, so as our congregation Beth Israel, Pnei Israel, Chavara, and we have the Unitarians. We have everybody.
This came up last time that we did a show similar to this. Atheists? I don't know that
they have not joined us.
Atheists have a congregation, but it's certainly a faith.
Is it? Well, I don't think
so. It's a belief. Does that not qualify as a faith?
I think it is. We focus on, we invite people to join who come from a religious tradition, and maybe you need to ask the atheists, but I don't think they come from a religious tradition, possibly a philosophy, but we're a faith-based organization.
Fair enough. Again, Janie Eck, Denise Zito here.
It's Janie Eckman,
I'm sorry.
Well, there's mistake number one. I guess I did it twice. So let's talk about sort of, we mentioned how it has come to be with Impact. What is the, you know, give me the who, what, when, how for the Charlottesville area. I mean, there's a mission. So we know that there are a variety of pastors that put this together. Mm-hmm. But Impact gets together for one specific purpose?
Well, what we do is we have a process where our congregations get together in the fall, and we call it listening sessions. So we sit together within our congregation and talk about kind of what's bugging us or what do we see as problems in the community. And then, Janie, why don't you go ahead and take it from there.
And we also look at our own personal experiences with what we're experiencing with our family or an extended family. And during these listening sessions, we put it all out there. We discuss them. And with all the congregations, we take record of everything that's discussed so that when the team leaders of our different congregations come together, all of these issues and problems are presented out on about four different walls. So people go around and they then will choose the top three representing their congregations which were discussed or brought up. And so that's how we come to what issues we're going to present to the whole, all 15,000 of the people that we represent in all these different congregations. They come to an assembly in October and then they vote on the top three issues. For example, this year our top three issues discussed during the listening sessions were homelessness, public safety, or pedestrian safety, and public transportation. And so that was voted on just several weeks ago, and homelessness was selected as our second issue that we're going to work on this year.
Now, you talk about the different faiths gathering. You have Christian, and I'm assuming a wide variety of Christian mm-hmm. faiths, from Lutheran to Catholic to Methodist to Southern Baptist, et cetera. Mm-hmm. You have Muslim, you have Jewish. Mm-hmm. And I can't help but think of this in a political manner. If you have a large number of Christian faiths, but only one or two Jewish versus Muslim, is it possible that some faiths overwhelm others in the topics that they would like to talk about?
Well, that's a good question. We haven't really seen that to be so because, I mean, it's a really interesting situation when people come together at this assembly that Janie was just talking about. And so people bring their teams. We have between 300 and 400 people come together. And then they caucus within their congregations one more time, and everybody gets a vote. And you get as many votes as you bring to that assembly. So there's remarkable consensus. I've been involved in this for about 5 years, and it's almost as though there's something in the water. And though we bring three issues, one always is the overwhelming concern of people, and it doesn't matter from which tradition you come.
And we come together to do justice. So although we're coming from different faith traditions, that's how we are united, is to do justice in our community, to look at the root causes of problems in our community.
1110 here on WNRN, talking with Denise and Janie from Impact, a local organization, about bringing different faiths together to discuss important issues in society, and certainly our community. How do you bring different faiths together? I understand the purpose I understand the goal, but for many people, and I used to go to church on a regular basis. I was brought up as a Methodist who attended every Sunday, you know, Sunday school, and then right on to the 11 to 12 worship service, and then we went to my great-grandmother's house for lunch every Sunday. And then when I moved to Charlottesville and wasn't forced to go, my church attending percentage is way down. But I think I represent a good number of people in questioning whether or not this isn't difficult. The image that we have in today's society, true or not, is that everyone has their space, everyone has their thoughts, and they really don't mix all that well. There are some that do, but there are some that don't. And typically the ones that don't seem to be a much larger blockage as to why we can't and don't get together. Am I completely overstating that, or is it understating the good versus the bad?
Well, I think you're right. There's no doubt about it. But I think that's the extraordinary jewel that we have in Impact, is because we put all of that aside and we say, what is it that brings us together as a faith community, as faith communities? And I've been in Charlottesville a long time, almost 40 years, and I've never been, and I'm active in a lot of, you know, I had children here, so I was in the Boy Scouts and the Girl Scouts and, you know, all that. But I've never been involved in a group that is so religiously diverse and racially diverse. And we put it all aside and we say, what brings us together as people of faith to work on injustices? And we use a common scripture, the Jewish scriptures, which the Christians also share as the Old Testament, and we use excerpts from the Quran to bring together things that unite us. And so just to point out, one of the goals, when we pick up an issue with Impact, it has to be something that is absolutely doable. It's very concrete, and that there is a local answer for. And we pick something that will bring these 26 congregations together, that everybody can agree on. And that sounds like that would be really hard, but it actually hasn't been. We choose a large topic, and then we spend the autumn researching it in all its aspects to find that one or two things that we are concrete, doable within the community. We don't just go and complain. We say, here's a solution that we can all get behind. And I think that's why it works, because we focus on what brings us together rather than what separates us.
I think what helps, too, is we have testimonies from people, some that are in our own congregations. And when you listen to the testimonies of personal experiences of how these problems have directly affected their lives, it touches a lot of people's hearts. And they can relate to that, because I think we all experience the same types of problems. But when you hear it, it really resonates with people, and they gather all behind that to work towards at least bringing one solution to this problem.
Janie Ekman and Denise Zito here from Impact, Interfaith Movement, promoting actions by congregations together. We're discussing what Impact does, how it works, and some of the social campaigns that Impact has worked on, recent decision and some decisions in the past, and how those are going. Denise, I think you used the words common scripture. I don't think you have to go to church on a regular basis to understand that the Jewish faith is based on the Christian Old Testament, mm-hmm. and that the Muslim faith believes that there is a one deity who asks that we do good. Mm-hmm. But there is a common scripture between the Quran and
the
Bible?
No. I said we use the Jewish and Christian common scripture, and we use the Quran.
Good enough. Mm-hmm. That's the sort of learning that I need to get and hopefully share with those who are listening today. Now, the decision that was made was about homelessness. Mm-hmm. For in this fall. We're going to get into some of the previous ones. I was really interested in learning more about the mental health initiative from mm-hmm. last year and some of the positive feedback that that got. But when we talk about homelessness, and I want to bring in some of the political aspect, because once you start talking about religion and politics, many people either turn away or get fired up or jump right in. Let's go with this. There are, as the election is upcoming, I don't think that many would disagree that there is one side of our political faith that is very strong in their religious beliefs, but whose political beliefs are that homeless, they bring that on themselves. They just don't work hard enough. If they worked harder, this wouldn't even be an issue. How do you work around that in with impact?
Well, first, let me say very strongly, we are not a political organization. We're a religious organization. And it's surprising. We don't talk about politics. We don't talk about it. I'm sure that in our congregations we have members voting on both sides of the issue, but we come at it from a faith base, and I would say these 26 congregations certainly have in common that they don't think that people are homeless because they brought it on themselves. I think that's pretty clear. We come at it as that there are some injustices in society that cause a lot of our problems. Not all of them, but there are some that we need to level the playing field and bring in, help people out of poverty.
Janie, do you notice, and I don't know if enough work has been done on homelessness, but do you notice a drop in percentage of people who are working? So the organization as a whole and with the 26 different congregations votes on homelessness as this campaign. Well, I understand that Impact is not a religious organization.
We are religious. We're not political.
Excuse me. Not a political organization. But there are people within the organization who have strong political beliefs. And if the political belief doesn't match the goal and purpose of the current campaign for Impact, do you just step aside and not participate during this time?
Well, that's up to them what they want to participate in. But I must say, just looking at the homelessness issue, and I'm just going to take my church, Church of the Incarnation, as an example. We have anywhere from 300 to 400 volunteers that work on sheltering, that volunteer on sheltering the homeless 2 weeks a year. And this 2 weeks happens to fall this month in November. And to have that many people come together, they're not looking at reasons why people are homeless. They're looking at sheltering them, providing hospitality, feeding them. I mean, even cutting their hair, buying shoes for them, even going that far. They want to serve. They want to help. And they're not looking at, well, why are these people homeless? Now, some people probably are. A lot. We know from past research, that, maybe a third of the people who are homeless are working. They just can't afford the housing here, and there isn't any shelter for the homeless that provides overnight care. So they're homeless, but they're working. And then we have other people that have mental health issues, addictions that contribute to their homelessness. But I don't really see our congregations looking at this as, why would we want to help them? They brought it upon themselves. No, I don't see that at all, because I see how much support and effort goes out to even shelter these men and women during the winter months.
11:20 here on the Wake Up Call. We're discussing Impact and what they do here in our community, the positive aspects of Impact. The guest today, Janie Ekman, Denise Zito. 979-0919 is our phone number here in town. 877-967-6762 is toll free if you'd like to ring us up, participate in the conversation today. Markets of Tiger Fuel forecast for Central Virginia and the Shenandoah Valley. It's mostly cloudy with a calm wind, highs near 51. Mostly cloudy tonight, lows around 35. And then mostly sunny tomorrow, highs 50 to 55, a little cooler in the valley. Pretty nice out there today, 46 in the valley, 47 in Lynchburg, 48 in Richmond, 46 here in Charlottesville.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call, brought to you by The Hook and by the Market for Tiger Fuel, homegrown since 1982. You can visit Charlottesville's only locally owned and operated chain of convenience stores today. They operate on Main Street, not Wall Street. Now back to your host, Rick Moore.
And today's programming is also supported by Dixon Disposal. They're family-owned and operated for 40 years. Dixon Disposal works to promote green awareness. Dixon offers all-in-one can recycling, so you won't have to spend time sorting or trying to figure out if those items are recyclable. These recyclable items will not end up in the landfill. For more information on the all-in-one can recycling, it's DixonDisposal.com or call them 978-2111. Back with our guests here at WNRN, it's Denise Zito and Janie Ekman. We're talking about IMPACT, that's the Interfaith Movement Promoting Actions by Congregations Together. Denise, you said that you're not a political organization. Janie, how do you keep politics and religion from mixing?
Well, I would say because we say right up front, we're not a political organization. We're here based on common aspirations for justice in the community.
But this isn't a political radio show, and the questions come about, and the conversation takes place. I mean, we change topics from week to week, and sometimes that's just what comes up. Mm-hmm. You could be talking with your mother, with your son, with your neighbor, and sometimes that's just where the conversation leads.
Well, just like at work, sometimes politics comes up, but that's not why I'm at work. I'm at work to do my job. Yeah, maybe it comes up sometimes in private conversations, but we're pretty focused. You know, we have regular meetings and moving the agenda forward and doing the research and all that. So, you know, no more than you talk politics at the dinner table or around the water cooler at work. But it's not the focus of our work at all. And we get surprised. We just get great consensus. I mean, people come there knowing, why are we here? We're here to look at our common faith tradition and work on a specific issue. And I think, you know, we don't say, let's go conquer homelessness. That's not what we're going to do during this year. We're going to go focus, research what's happening in the community already, see what we can do to focus some attention to a particular issue and then work on that. So I think the focus helps keep people together.
Janie, one of the questions that I got from a friend before coming on today was the difference between solving a problem or researching a problem that is for the individual rather than the community. Is there a separation there? I mean, when you talk about homelessness, are you working to solve the problem for a handful of individuals? Are you working to solve the problem for the community? When we go back to some of your other campaigns that I want to get into, you have a mental health initiative. You have you worked and still working on young adult unemployment. How do you or do you focus on solving these problems person by person? You know, do you look at an individual and assume that that might take you to a greater answer, or?
No, we don't look at them individually. We look at them as a group. And we realize, we know, it's impossible to solve all of the problems. For example, with homelessness, we're not going to solve the problem of homelessness. So we're going to look at a particular solution that we can address and that we think will be winnable, that our decision makers in our community can help with and provide a solution for it. When you look at if you want to look at mental health, that's a huge topic. So we broke it down and we found out that the people who are receiving the most services for mental health are in our jails and in our prisons. And so we decided to concentrate on that population with mental health problems because there is no way we can tackle it all. We try to make a difference and put a dent in some of the problems in our community.
But some people, not necessarily impact, have the belief that if you try and solve the problem for Janie Ekman, that might lead us to answers that help us solve the problem for the Zito family, mm-hmm. which might lead us to solve the problem for the organization of WNRN, as opposed to looking at the situation that would solve the problem for everyone at one time. And is one easier, more difficult, more effective than the other?
Well, we might be saying the same things. We, as Janie was saying, we looked at, you know, mental health issues in our community are huge and diverse. But we looked at the fact, we discovered through our research that when inmates come out of our local jail, they're given 30 days, if they have mental health issues, and many of them do, they're given 30 days of medication and told, good luck. Okay, go find a job with benefits, and then you can continue to get your medication. Well, that rarely happens. And after 30 days, if they haven't gotten a job with benefits, then they're kind of adrift. They have no money for medication. There's a lot of recidivism, or they end up in the emergency department or whatever, until they get past 60 or 90 days when they're eligible for Medicaid. So what we said was, why don't we find a bridge program from that 30 days post-incarceration to the time when they're eligible for Medicaid if they need it? And that has made an enormous difference for a lot of people, for individuals certainly, but for a large population. The police are happy. The community at large is happy, and we heard that a VCU professor has said, hey, have you heard about that program in Charlottesville, Healthy Transitions? That's really effective for mental health. So we've helped a lot of people individually.
Let's talk about that for a minute. From last year, correct? Mm-hmm. The campaign selected as the... I keep wanting to use the word mission, but that's the mission is greater
the problem.
Than, right. But the mental health campaign from last year selected using the same format as the one for homelessness. Mm-hmm. The 26 congregations get together. Everyone picks their 1, 2, and 3, and then the topic getting the most number of votes wins.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If that didn't simplify it enough, I don't
know.
That's
about it. That's how it goes.
And so what is the length of time that it took? And I know that the process included research mm-hmm. On mental health problems. The research determined that you only got the medication for 30 days, and obviously that's not enough. Anybody who takes prescription drugs who's told, here, you can have your insurance, or here's a free bottle of pills for 30 days, and you have no insurance after that, good luck. Do your mm-hmm. best. We all know that that's not going to work. But what was the process in getting the Healthy Transitions set up so that it led to these positive reinforcement feedback that you got from the police and from VC or from Richmond?
Actually, Healthy Transitions was a program already being used. The solution was a lot easier for us because Healthy Transitions already existed and was already showing great results in reducing the recidivism and homelessness among the ex-offenders released because of this program. The problem was the Healthy Transitions program ran out of funds, and they weren't going to be able to continue. And the solution was we went to the city and to the county and said, please fund this program. Don't stop the funding, because it's saving the city and the county thousands of dollars by these ex-offenders going back into prisons or going to emergency rooms, being homeless. And so that was our solution, and they stepped up to the task, and they did fund it. But we had a glitch. Actually, we started that program 2 years ago. We had a glitch last year because of the budget deficit. The county supervisor said, you know, we noticed, and because we always do follow up on these programs from past years or these problems, the issues, to see that they're continuing to work or being addressed. We found out that the county supervisors had not included funding for healthy transitions in its budget for this year. So we rallied again, and we brought at least, if not more, 100 people to the county supervisors meeting, and we said, you know, please do not stop funding this program. It's already saving thousands of dollars, and it's very cost effective. And we were able to convince the supervisors to fund this program, not for another year, but for several more years.
Now, this is a good time to bring this up. We did a program on impact previously. We talked about the campaign at the time and some of the other issues involved. And it was podcast, posted as a podcast. One of the comments that came up after that, this is part of the quote from that. Every year, these people, Impact, take great pride in convening elected officials and try to bully them into doing their bidding. These actions are all performed behind the cloak of religion. So you gather the board of supervisors together, and you say, wait. Don't be taking our program away. Put that back together.
Do you want to comment?
No. That's for you.
I'm sorry. What
is that true?
Oh,
how do you feel about the bullying commentary?
Yeah, we've heard that bullying before, and we get people say this is not the way we do things in Charlottesville. And we're not always petitioning public officials. We did a dental campaign, and we brought together the free clinic and the two local hospitals, showed them a way that the problem had been solved in Waynesboro, and said, why don't we do what they do in Waynesboro? We worked with the local prisons when we were looking for interpretive services. This past year, we're continuing to work with the hospitals and Piedmont Virginia Community College. But when I hear things like this, I don't think there's anything different in us bringing 1,500 people to meet with leaders in the community than there was when 1,500 people showed up on the lawn at the university to petition the Board of Visitors to reinstate Teresa Sullivan. When you see injustice and you identify it and you get people concerned about it and get them to come out, that's what gets people in power to listen. And that's what we're about.
And when we have our Nehemiah action every year, when we present a solution to the problem, our public officials, our community decision makers, who's ever involved in this solution, they know ahead of time exactly what we're going to ask of them, and they are the ones that helped us form the solution because of presenting the information during the research. So we ask them to give us either a yes or no answer, because we want to know if they're going to be committed, if they're going to help us work towards a solution. And maybe that's where the bullying comes in, how it's interpreted. You know, we want a yes or a no answer and not, oh, maybe. Because a maybe doesn't tell us anything. And then we also allow them, I shouldn't say the word allow, but they can speak. We give them an opportunity to speak how they feel about the issue and give their opinions, whatever comments they want to make. So, you know, I'm sorry it's being translated as bullying, but we think we're quite fair in it.
Now, you know, a question to follow up on that. When you step before the board of supervisors and bring this topic up for further funding, do I stand up and say, hi, I'm Rick Moore from Impact? Do I stand up and say, hi, I'm Rick Moore from Church of the Incarnation with Impact? How does religion play into this discussion? Or does it at all?
We, when we go to the Board of Supervisors or the City Council, we sign up. We all sign in as Impact, and whoever is speaking on our behalf signs in as Impact. I mean, we're all proud of the congregations we belong to, but when we come together as Impact.
And by the way, I'm not with Church of the Incarnation, just so no one feels...
Nothing wrong with that, Rick.
No, but I don't want them, in case I say something silly or embarrassing to the church, no need to attach them to me. I have nothing
with
attaching
you
me
anytime.
To them. It's the other way around. All right, again, our guests today, Denise Zito, Janie Ekman, we're talking about Impact. That's a group that of different congregations in our area that come together to provide social justice, social good for our community. Impact is interfaith movement, promoting actions by congregations together. So we talked about the mental health initiative from last year, healthy transitions. It was actually an old and a program that had actually sort of faded away, rebirthed, and refunded, and got a lot of positive feedback. As far as notes I have here are that the local police hailed the program. They believe that it was saving the county a lot of money. Professor at VCU pointed at it as a program to model. The young adult unemployment, another campaign that has recently been selected, an ongoing campaign, correct? Can you tell me the, you know, a sentence or two on the basic goal and where it stands now?
Well, in our research, we found that the unemployment rate for adults, young adults under the age of 30, was 14% higher than the other age groups. And we know Charlottesville area has one of the lower unemployment rates when you look at it throughout the country. But proportionately, for an age group of people, 16 to 30, to be have a high, you know, unemployment rate at 14%, well, that was pretty shocking. So we did a lot of research on this and found out that 2/3 of the young adults lack any post high school education, and it's very hard to get a job unless you have more education directed to a single field, technical information, medical information. And there were other factors, but when we looked at all the research, we found out that the medical field was the number one job growth industry in this area. In fact, there are 12,000 healthcare jobs that will need to be filled by 2018. So we looked at this as a one of the solutions for our young adults to find employment. Now, the big problem was, one of the big problems was that in order to get certified to get the training, which could cost, you know, $1,000 or more a year in tuition, it was that our minority, our low-income families couldn't afford to pay that tuition up front. So therefore, how could they even get even looked at for applying for entry-level jobs in the health field? We also found out that, you know, once they get hired in the by the hospitals or in the health field, then there usually is money to move on, to move up in the system with more education and more assistance. But it's getting your foot in the door, and that was one of the major problems with our youth, our young adults finding jobs. First of all, they needed the training for it.
All right. I want to follow up with that in a question, but it's 11:40 here on the Wake Up Call. Our guests today, Denise Zito and Janie Ekman, as we're talking about Impact. Groups coming together, religious faiths coming together to do social good here in our community.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake Up Call, brought to you by the Market Tiger Fuels and by The Hook, an innovative weekly from the people who really know the news, on newsstands Thursday. Here's Rick on what you can find on this week's Hook.
And with Virginia Film Festival celebrating its 25th anniversary, co-founder Patricia Kluge takes a look back at the early years, and she offers her opinion on where the festival's been, where it should be going, and whether or not it's gotten off track. And The Hook looks at Charlottesville's new Stonefield Shopping Center, with at least 6 new restaurants and a Trader Joe's. But is the good news for diners bad news for the downtown mall and other shopping centers? It's The Hook, every Thursday in print, every day online. And support for WNRN today comes from L. Oppelman, serving Lynchburg for 122 years. In addition to loans, L. Oppelman deals in jewelry and musical instruments, rifles, game systems, TVs, tools, and with a new inventory arriving every day. This holiday season, you can take advantage of L. Oppelman's layaway plan and get a head start on your Christmas list. L. Oppelman, 909 Main Street, downtown Lynchburg. And in just a few minutes, Drew Thompson will be here at noon for Les Temps Purdue, the best of 80s and 90s alternative. Drew will bring you the roots of alternative, because you can't understand where we are without first knowing where we've been. Take a trip back to the times gone by with Les Temps Purdue, only on WNRN. All right, back here on the Wake Up Call, I'm Rick Moore. Our guests today, Janie Ekman and Denise Zito from Impact. We were talking about young adult unemployment issue. I guess I'm allowed to call them youth now that I'm in my late 40s. One of the things that keeps coming up in my mind, you know, the election is on Tuesday, has to do with this discretionary funding. And again, we fall back into politics a little bit about where our government money goes. Is Impact pointing out the problems that our community needs to focus on? Homelessness, young adult unemployment. Are you as a group raising money to put into this problem to help solve it? You research it and then put your money forward? Or is this, then you go to the government and say, we need to put our money here?
Well, the 26 congregations that compose Impact pour a lot of money into this community. One of the projects I want to work on for the next year is actually quantifying that, how much they give towards PACHM, soup kitchens, direct aid. You can go to any of these congregations. I've been there where people knock on the door and say, I can't make my electric bill. Can you give me money? And we give them money. So the churches have already stepped up. We are funded. Impact itself is funded. We have 2 paid staff. We're funded by individual contributions, by dues from the member congregations, and then we get grant funding from various generally religious groups. So we do put money in there. But what we're trying to get to, you know, fundamental issues in the community. With the youth unemployment, we're working with the local hospitals and with K-Tech and with PVCC to come together to better coordinate training for our unemployed youth, and rather than recruiting people up from out of the area to focus the training here. And that's kind of what we're working with them on. There's a very successful program in Cincinnati that did this, and it not only did a lot for their youth unemployment, but also brought a lot of money, kept a lot of money in the community, rather than going outside for recruiting. So that's kind of where we're focusing. And this will be a 2-year campaign, and we continue to work with all the parties involved.
When you go before the Board of Supervisors or Charlottesville City Council and say, this is an important issue, whether it's healthy transitions, whether it's research that leads to this suggested work to help reduce homelessness, and again, we are talking about discretionary funding, so the money goes here, but it must come from somewhere else. Do you find other organizations or individuals who battle against you, whether it's in a polite way or in a strong way? There's only so much money to give. How do you tell someone else that this is more important than what they would like the money for?
I think... We we address how it is benefiting the community. Let's take, for example, one of the issues that we did, I think it was in 2009, on pre-kindergarten education. Through our research, we found that there is a big achievement gap for children in low-income groups that don't have access to pre-K education, that when they get into school, they're already behind. And if they don't catch up by third grade, the chances rise considerably that they won't even graduate from high school. So if we can put more money into our pre-K education for these low income and people who even, you know, don't speak English very well, they get a head start in their education, and we save a lot of money then on over the long run if we can get these kids on track, close that achievement gap, keep track of their success in school, and see that they do, you know, have more success in getting a high school education. So it really does serve the community, and I think we point that out in a lot of ways, how what we're asking for in having a fair playing field, if you want to call it, with all people of different income groups, how it does benefit the community and how in the long run it does save money.
Yeah, and with that campaign, at that point we weren't even asking for more money. We were saying, look at this. We have pre-K education, but only, I believe, 60% of the children enrolled are low-income children. And it really ought to be, they ought to be choosing more low-income children to be in that program. And so that's what we advocated, that money should be designated for low-income children.
That was one of the issues, because you're right, there were other children enrolled in that weren't at that low-income level. But also, to serve all of the children that need it, we did need more classrooms. And the city did come forward with establishing two more classrooms within that year, or classes, to accommodate more children. So, yeah, it was sort of dual-edged, which, of course, you know, there was some money involved in coming up with a couple more classrooms and staff. But
again, talking with two representatives of Impact today, Denise Zito, Janie Ekman. Ladies, now with pre-K education, there are two more classes added. With the free dental clinic, certainly, as I learned before, that one blew my mind. I knew that it had existed in Charlottesville for a number of years. We can get into these other conversations about politics, you know, homelessness. Certainly, you can find a number of people who say, you know, that's your fault. Don't ask me to help support that. But the free dental clinic, it really blew my mind as to the fact that Impact had put that together. But how do you feel success in some of these issues? You put the free dental clinic up. You create two new classes. Do you feel success yet, in even a minor way, on the young adult unemployment?
Well, we've got a lot of conversations going in the community. We're gaining support from the government officials. Again, we're not going to be petitioning the government officials for this, unless you consider the university as that is a tax-funded institution. But we're working with them, and we'll continue to work with them, showing them a success in Cincinnati that we think could be brought to Charlottesville.
Here's a comment that we got from a caller choosing to remain anonymous. Says that the biggest issue in promoting education is that children need support from their parents. So let me follow that up with a question. You're working on pre-K education as your campaign. Does Impact as an organization do anything in terms of speaking to individuals within the community, or even smaller groups? Do you go to groups and say, look, we can get you the classes, but the parents need to be more involved?
Well, that's interesting that was brought up, because our research is very thorough. We not only talk with the top decision makers, we talk with as many organizations that are involved with a particular issue that we're addressing that year. And when it comes to that family issue, the parents need to be more involved. Well, yes, that is very true, and that's been shown through research. And we looked at the social workers, meaning more social workers working in the in our schools and with pre-K. As I said before, we can't address all of the issues to solve the problem completely. So we looked at, okay, how best can we approach this and help it make, you know, be a winnable solution for that year? And that's why we went into the adding of classes, but also getting more of our low-income children into those programs.
Yeah, and I think that is one of the fundamental things that any religious congregation does, is support families. And we have congregations of all stripes, congregations of all income levels, and that's a basic, that you're keeping families together and promoting good parenting. That's I think all of our congregations have that in common.
11:51 on the wake up call. Just a few moments left as we talk about impact. Interfaith movement promoting actions by congregations together, talking about what Impact does and some of the community campaigns that they have worked on in the past several years. Ladies, have you found that, again, I keep falling back into this political aspect. It's hard for me not to, since I go home every day and have a double-digit number of calls on my phone. Or the other day, I really received three of the same flyers in my mail. Talk about a waste of money. But do you find that when you go forward to talk about the young adult unemployment that you're battling the funding for healthy transitions, or you might be battling the funding for the pre-K education group?
No, because this is what we're working with. Those are county city initiatives, and we're working with PVCC, K-Tech, the University of Virginia Medical Center, and Martha Jefferson. Those are different funding pools, and they already do some training programs, and we're just working with them to better coordinate and perhaps urge them to do a little bit more. But those are all separate funding issues from campaigns we've had in the past.
Actually, with this issue of the unemployment, it's benefiting all of those institutions, because there's already a problem with hiring at the lower level, like CNAs. They can't find other people to find those positions. The average age of nurses, of RNs, is 57 years old, so they're going to be having a lot of open positions in the future. So if they can find the people and help train them, come together to provide the training, the job skills, and get them in there, that's really serving both the people who need the jobs and then the institutions that are providing the services. So it's a win-win solution on both sides.
As I was doing my homework on Impact, by the way, the website, I don't remember. You want to toss out the website to either of you?
It's impactcville.com.
So I-M-P-A-C-T.
C-V-I-L-L-E.com.
Impactcville.com. You can go do your own research for more information and the questions and the topics that I'm sort of skimming over here in the hour. 11:54 on the wake-up call. This is WNRN Charlottesville and WNRS-FM Sweetbriar Amherst Lynchburg, with Denise Zito and Janie Ekman. Two of the words that I found repeatedly in doing my research, mercy and justice. Sometimes I think of those, not always, but sometimes I find those in my mind to battle one another. I don't believe that mercy is always just in our society, or that justice always brings forth mercy.
Well, we see them as two different things, and the best illustration was a little story that one of our impact members related to me early on. If you're sitting having a picnic by the Rivanna River, and somebody comes floating down and they're drowning, and you pull them out, that's mercy. And pretty soon here comes another one, you pull them out. Pretty soon you're going to say, who's throwing those people in the river? And you go upriver to look and see why they're going in the river. That's justice. So look at what is the root cause of this. We need both. Our religious traditions demand both. We, if you want to say the powerful and the well-off are the ones sitting having the picnic by the Rivanna. And we're trying to help the people that are falling in the water. We help them every day in our congregations by direct service, which is mercy. But impact is about justice. What can we do to keep them from falling in the river?
Do you believe that mercy and justice have the same definitions amongst impact as they do in other groups in our society?
Well, they are different. They're different in that, again, justice is looking at the root cause. It's confrontational. It is much more challenging, I think, and it has to bring together a lot of different of our decision makers and policy makers to solve this problem. Mercy, as Denise has said, all of our congregations are providing a lot of mercy through what we do. In our food bank, in our food ministries, and sheltering the homeless, and Cooking for Salvation Army—you name it, it's done. I think it's much a greater challenge to work on justice. We're not comfortable with it. We're not used to it, and it takes a lot of research and an organization to bring numbers that bring power to get these decisions, solutions done.
You risk people calling you a bully if you bring people together to say, hey, come on, can't we do a little bit better in this community? But we think it's worth it.
And that's where I was going with that was, isn't one more difficult than the other?
Yeah, because the community loves when the churches feed the hungry and shelter the homeless. They love that. But they don't want to, they don't love it when we say, hey, there's no bus down Fifth Street on Sunday, and all those people are having to go to work at the hospital on Sunday for a low wage. At least we can give them a bus.
As you move forward with your research on the homelessness campaign, recently voted upon, I don't know if that's the right word to use, recently voted upon just a few weeks ago in October, correct?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
How do those who might not go to church or whose church might not belong to Impact, but who feel strong about supporting and finding the root cause of homelessness, how do they step forward and participate with Impact?
Well, our members, the research committee is always done by our member organization, our member congregations. So that's kind of a given. But I bring a lot of my non-church-going friends to the Nehemiah Action. Anybody who's concerned about justice in their community, we welcome them next April 29th to come to the John Paul Jones Arena. And you can always go on our website and see what's going on, see which how we've narrowed the issue and what we're going to be asking and who we're going to be asking. So that's not always a given. And we urge everybody to come and join us April 29th.
All right, ladies, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you very much for having us, Rick.
Denise Zito and Janie Ekman from Impact. You can find the show up on the SeavillePodcast.com website. Next week, we will be talking about a little more directly about politics. Professor Sid Milkus will be here as we talk about exactly what did happen on Tuesday, how we got there, and where it's going to take us. Thank you so much. Bye.
This has been your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN. The wake-up call is brought to you by The Hook, an innovative weekly from the people who really know the news. On newsstands Thursday, the wake-up call is also supported by the Markets of Tiger Fuel, homegrown since 1982. You can visit Charlottesville's only locally owned and operated chain of convenience stores today. They operate on Main Street, not Wall Street. Views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the management, staff, or board of WNRN. You can contact Rick at abstractme@aol.com or wakeupcall@wnrn.org. The Wake Up Call is produced by Sean McCord. Tune in next Sunday morning at 11 for The Wake Up Call, only on WNRN. 91.